Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, principals and parents of special schools for children with mild general learning disabilities have raised concerns about Department of Education plans to review the designation of existing special schools, which they say could see some students slip through the cracks. Well, let's find out more about this, because I'm joined in the studio now by principal of Scull Owen Special School in Crumlin in Dublin, Debbie O'Neill, and parent Emer Cobb. And you're both welcome. Lovely to have you with us. I just want to find out a little bit about Scull Owen, Debbie, first, and why you're concerned about the planned review. But you might just tell us a little bit about the school, what you do, who goes there and so on.
Sure. So Claire, we are a school for mild general learning disability, as you said, and MGLD is for children who have an IQ of between 50 and 69. So they would be functioning at below average. We also take children who are borderline mild, so up as far as an IQ of 79. And all of the children who come to us would have started in a mainstream school. So our school is for children age 10 up. So we do the primary curriculum, the junior cycle and the Leaving Cert Applied. Mm-hmm. But those children who come would have struggled in a mainstream environment and would be coming to us with really an eroded sense of self-confidence and self-worth. And they come to us then and they find their tribe and they find their place, and it works out
and
amazingly.
And often flourish and go on then to what? To third level in some
yeah,
cases?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so it's there's very stark statistics on that. So one in four people with an intellectual disability in Ireland work. And yet with us, we've done a little bit of research over the past few years. And for the past 5 years, 91% of our cohort will go on to work or go on to further ed and training.
Isn't that extraordinary?
It's a system that really, really works.
By creating the right environment and allowing people to flourish, you reap the benefits.
100%.
So why are you worried about the review?
So the review is about redesignation. Now, redesignation is something that we have come under immense pressure from the department with over the past maybe 5-6 years. So it means that we will no longer be a school for mild general learning disability. We will be what the department are calling a catch-all special school, where we will only cater to those with the most complex needs. Now, the department are saying that that does not mean that our children who are present with us will be sent back into mainstream, but it certainly does mean that the future children, those we've yet to meet, will be encouraged to stay in a mainstream environment rather than come to us, because there simply won't be room for them.
Yeah, you won't have space to cater for everybody.
Precisely.
And what has the department said about those concerns that you have?
So what the main line that they're bringing out really is that there are 30 mild schools around the country, and they're saying that 16 of them have already changed designation. Mm. Now, that number is actually not factually correct. You know, I am friends with all of those principals. We meet 3 or 4 times a year. So we have all transitioned to cater to a more complex need. You know, 10 years ago, we would not have had any autistic children, for example. And now most of our schools will be 50% autism. So the fact is that we are all changing. And those schools, the few that have transitioned, Claire, they really are under an awful lot of pressure. Some of them have had to change their designation in order to get maybe a new building. All of them are really struggling with the designation they now have, because the resourcing that they would have been promised has not manifested. Mm-hmm. And so they really are in a space where they're finding it very difficult to cope.
We had a statement from the department, and they say there are cases where children with complex needs can't apply for admission to their local special school simply because they don't meet the narrow designation of that special school. Mm-hmm. In that regard, along with providing additional special school capacity, the department and the National Council for Special Education consider it necessary to look at the profile of our existing special schools. So I suppose what they're saying there are children with complex needs who they feel are being sent out of their local area because they can't get into schools like your school.
Yeah, and I see that complexity, and absolutely a lot of this is driven because department have really tried to get a place for every child, and we would be 100% behind that. But this is a result of really chronic underinvestment in special ed over the past decades. So what we need are more special school placements that are appropriate to the need of each child. There is, I suppose, a spectrum of need out there, and we need to provide a spectrum of provision for that rather than having what is, you know, throwing everybody into the same environment and hoping
you're saying,
for the best.
What you believe is you're shoehorning people into a place where it's just not the right environment for them and the other people who use that service.
Absolutely. So okay. It's about having the appropriate environment for everybody.
Well, Emma is sitting beside you there. Emma, you're very welcome. And you have a very personal story with regard to all of this about Connor. Tell us about Connor.
So, Claire, when Connor was born and when he finished creche, there was no developmental delay. So we rallied forward and sent him into our local primary school. But within 2 weeks of him being in the primary school, the problems were evident in that he wasn't able to focus. He didn't know what was going on. And for the next 6 months, between phone calls to and from the school and me having to come out of work to go down and address with the principal why he wasn't settling, we decided to get him assessed. So at 5 years of age, he was assessed, and by the National Education Psychological Society, and he got a diagnosis of mild general learning disabilities, which meant that academically, he was never going to thrive in the mainstream school without a full-time SNA. So luckily, myself and my husband spoke about a different type of setting for Connor, and we sent him to a local Montessori primary school, which was all visual learning, where he did very well there because he wasn't sitting fixated on a teacher for the day. He was able to work with his hands and he could visually see what he was doing.
And was that just for primary school then that he
could
stay there?
For primary school. Unfortunately, they had no classes beyond sixth class. So we had to rethink his secondary school and finishing primary school. So what we decided to do was take him out of there in third class and put him into, on advice from our local senior education needs officer, to put him into a school that would have a feeder secondary school so that we wouldn't be disrupting him yet again.
Yeah.
So we were lucky enough, and through personal and financial expense, we put him into a local private school, and where he thrived there because he was given an SNA. So he was able to sit in the normal class, do the normal curriculum, but he did have a full-time SNA who differentiated the work for him to his level.
Right.
So
can I just bring you to the point then where you find out about Skull, Owen, and getting in there and the difference then that made to
of
you?
Of course. So when it came to the secondary school, Connor had been attending Enable Ireland for certain group thinks amongst his peers, and I just so happened to have a conversation with a parent, and I said, so Esther, I said, where is Aisling going to be going to secondary next year? And she said, God, we've had an awful time. I've been ringing schools in my area and nobody can take her. So I've heard about this school, Skull Owen, through my teacher who's senior. Through my sister.
Yeah, so she had heard about the school.
She'd heard about the school and her...
You obviously explored it then.
I explored it. I spoke to Debbie and I had said to her that he was going to go into the first year in his... in the school he was in now because we didn't want to disrupt him, but we knew it wasn't going to be the right fit and I was looking for an alternative. And sure enough, the summer of the first year that he was in there, his teachers had said to me, I'm afraid, you know, the students have moved well past Connor. He's going to drown in second year. You need to look for an alternative. So when I came to Debbie about this, she said she had no places that year, but to put him down for the following year. So he started in second year last September, Claire, and the change is unbelievable.
What is it about the school?
Okay, first of all, he feels he belongs. He's full of life. He's very sporty, and they don't, you know, they're not picked on sports because of their ability, it's because they want to be involved. He's full of chat about what he does in class every day. They have no formal uniform. His class is smaller. They don't have to move classroom for their core subjects, only for subjects, other subjects like woodwork and cooking. And he loves both of those subjects. He makes things. He's very proud of what he's made. He feels valued. And I normally, a teenager would clamp up if you ask them about how was their day at school, whereas he comes in the door bursting to tell me everything that has happened. You
so
know,
he
that
doesn't
day.
Want his school holidays, does he?
No, he doesn't, because my other son has finished since the start of June, and I broke it to Connor that he was going to be in till the end of June. He said, "No, no problem," he said, "Mum, because my friends are there."
He loves it.
He absolutely loves it.
Now, if there was to be a change with the designation, it wouldn't affect Connor, would it? Because children who are already there will continue on. That's not going to be an issue.
I would hope not, but if the class sizes enlarge and the SNA access would be diluted, then maybe his confidence would take a dip again, because at the moment he's getting a lovely curated education, which he is well able to handle, you know, for his ability. And I'm not sure on a day-to-day basis how it would affect him.
Yeah.
But I certainly probably would see the difference in his confidence.
And what are your hopes for Connor?
My hope would be for Connor, he's always wanted, well, my hope for Connor really would be to be a valuable member of society and to be able to do something.
Which
with
he
his
is, life. Which he is.
Absolutely, he is. He's now being recognised as one. So he's always wanted to be a zookeeper since he was about 5. I've explored the avenues for that. And for that, he needs a leaving cert applied to do husbandry in Sheffield. And that's really what he wants
to
do.
That's what he wants to do.
That's always what he's wanted to do.
What a lovely
career.
He loves
animals. And they've got a school dog recently and he's absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, and sure you're listening to that story, Debbie. And of course you know Connor. But that is that a common story that people come in and they find their tribe and they thrive because of that?
Absolutely. And Claire, it's the only story that matters really. So, you know, the department are very intent on inclusion and the word is thrown around an awful lot. But we would consider ourselves a hugely inclusive school. I mean, to be included, you need to belong. And belonging is a part of what we do every day, how we want kids to feel. Unfortunately, when a child like Connor is in a mainstream environment, they have drifted from their peers. So the idea of them coming to us where they can find friendship, and then they can, we always say to parents at the beginning, you know, we will push them to be as academically able as possible while putting our arms around them and loving them as well. And that's a huge part of what we do every day.
So I can understand why you might be fearful of change if it is coming down the tracks. Is there a time scale? Has the department been in touch with you about when the review will happen?
No, so they've said that it will be September when they will approach us all. Now, just one, I suppose, little new thing that has happened. The Epson Act has been reviewed over the past 3 years, and the review of that was published yesterday. Now, on that review, if they were to redesignate, I would feel they're probably going against some of the recommendations in the review. So I really would encourage the minister to, you know, read that again maybe and see how it does actually fit with redesignation, because from my reading of it, it certainly doesn't.
Okay, well, your message is to protect this designation because it's working.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you both for coming in. Lovely to meet you, Debbie O'Neill, Principal of Scullone, and Emer Cobb, whose son, Connor. And we'd love to hear about Connor. And I hope he manages to achieve his dream. And why wouldn't he, to be a zookeeper? Thanks so much, Emer and Debbie, for coming in. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.